Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by XM Satellite Radio. XM Satellite Radio is here, and it's available at your local electronics stores. 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
Hope you get that bowling shirt. Yep, that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Every day I come in here, every day I have the same hope that I'll see Craig Taylor, my engineer, wearing a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. But as of yet, he hasn't sprung for the bowling shirt. And why am I making it a secret? Okay, it's $80. Oh no, not that. Not 80 whole dollars. Here's a guy that just went to Japan. Japan. J-A-P-A-N. Japan. Cat went to Japan, lived large in every nightclub up and down the Tokyo Strip, and he can't spring for 80 fish for a stinking bowling shirt. I don't care if you did use Hotwire for that cheap ticket, which, of course, if you want a good cheap ticket, go to Hotwire. Yes, hotwire.com for all your travel needs. I think you ought to spring for that big bowling shirt. Anyway, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Nice stuff on there. By the way, we have, as we do every week, our celebrity ass poll. Guess the celebrity ass and see if you can outwit Chris Pelton, who is in charge of celebrity ass. And so far, I would say the audience is batting somewhere around 50-50. I think they get about half right, half wrong. Now, the other thing I wanted to just bring up, because I got into the car this morning and I heard, as I was driving into work, I heard this story about the plane hitting the building in Italy. And the guys on the radio talking about how the head of the Italian Senate said that it was terrorism. It was almost certainly terrorism. At exactly the same moment, the head of the Italian Civil Aviation Authority said that it was an accident. The guy had engine trouble. Well, which of those two stories do you think actually made it into people's minds as fact? You got it, the terrorist thing. And within minutes, the stock market had dropped 150 points. A little tiny plane flies into a building in Italy. Now, I understand three people were killed. That's a tragedy. We always have to qualify, don't you? You can't just say, hey, it was only three people dead. You always got to qualify with, oh, well, you know, it was a horrible tragedy. Just in case some guy, the guy's relatives moved to America and they're listening to the show and they call and they're offended. So I always got to qualify with and of course we know three people dead is a very serious tragedy, but only three people died. Three people dead in a small plane crash in Italy, and it has been the head item on CNN's website all day. It has been the lead item on Matt Drudge's website all day. It's been the only news that anybody has reported all day long, the problems that a pilot had with a Piper Cub in Italy. Why? Because somebody thought Al-Qaeda was at it again. Somebody thought that Al-Qaeda had gone out, swiped a Piper Cub, and decided to aim it for the Pirelli building in Italy to make a real big statement. And that sent the stock market just reeling 150 points. Doesn't that give you just all kinds of faith in the American economic system that guys are subject to the worst kind of panic, the worst kind of stigmata on a rumor that Saddam Hussein is in a pantry chef costume and he's escaped Iraq and he's working in a kitchen somewhere in Paris? Any rumor, you can float any rumor on Wall Street. You can go there with any horse manure. Hey, did you guys hear the end of the world is tomorrow? Really? Stocks, they're going to sell them. They don't know whether it's true, whether it's false, whether you're nuts, whether you're not. Any nutball can walk in there, any bag lady, any guy with a ski cap pulled down selling flowers, and float some rumor about Saddam Hussein is really going to be Santa Claus in Macy's next year, in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and the stock market drops 8,000 million points. And everybody's wiped out. All these retirees wiped out on the rumor that Saddam Hussein is a chick or just had a sexual female organs installed. And that sends the stock market. I'm serious. You didn't hear about it? I'm flipping on the radio, and the guy says, well, you know, a plane, good God, a plane flew into a building. Now, we should be on guard, and we should be alert, and we should be, you know, we don't want to let the terrorists win. And we, you know, our country was subjected to a horrible attack on 9/11, and we want to make sure that we're sober and that we're taking everything seriously, but for God's sake, sending the value of American corporations reeling 150 points worth. I don't know what that translates into in terms of dollars. It's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion. Which is like $1 billion, 150 points. Just a solid $1 billion goes in the tank. Because what they do in Wall Street is they believe everything and then they ask questions later. So they could wipe out the American economy on a rumor that Little Red Riding Hood is actually a he, or the wolf, ain't such a bad guy after all. And the next thing you know, well, it's all bull crap. In the meantime, we're all on our ass looking for cigarette butts out in the street. The aircraft, the single-propeller Rockwell Commander 112TC, piloted by a 75-year-old Swiss man. That little old winemaker, me. Now, Craig, you're a pilot. You're into things that fly, flying horses and pigs and things like that. A single-engine, a single-propeller Rockwell Commander 112TC is not a difficult plane to pilot, is it? So something has to be seriously wrong with that aircraft for it not only to develop some kind of engine problem, but for the pilot to decide he wants to aim it into the side of a building. Now, he might have had problems with the control of the craft. It hit the 26th floor of the Pirelli Tower in an apparent accident. No, it's a 75-year-old Swiss terrorist. It's a 75-year-old guy. He's out there. He's milking the cows. He just did the milkmaid. And he's decided he wants to score one for Bin. Just before he checks out, man, before they put him on a gurney and head west, he's going to score one for Bin and the boys. He's flying it into the Pirelli building because he never did like them tires anyway. That's the old Pirelli tire building, which is now being used by an Italian government offices, and it's also being used by, hey, look at man, if you're going to take out something, you might as well take out a TV station, but that's ridiculous. If you're going to aim it anywhere, you might as well aim it at somebody reading the news on television. But you know, I say that, of course. I'm just kidding, just in case somebody decides they're going to take me seriously, go out and do it, and then blame me when they get arrested. An Italian law enforcement official said authorities have no evidence of a link to terrorism, although, they're still checking into it. 75-year-old Swiss guy, he was up there on the top of a mountain with that whole Ricola, and then all of a sudden he had a kind of a mushroom flash. Put on a towel and went out and did the big one for the PLO. What the hell? 150 points, the stock market just goes plummeting on the rumor that a 75-year-old guy who's been hooked on Swiss Miss chocolate, doing too much of that cheese with the holes in it, too many of them Swiss cheese and mayonnaise sandwiches, loses his mind, gets some kind of an infection, some sort of a toxic shock, and decides he's going to go out and play, Hezbollah for a day. The flying Hamas. How soon before they... I got the deal with NBC. How do you like this? A situation comedy revolving around a guy who's a terrorist. And we use the flying nun. So he's like, he's the flying towel winder or something. And he flies into situations and just gets a... can't do that every week, but... Always gets a pang of conscience and he doesn't take out whoever he's... I don't know, something like that. I'm going to work it in. I'm going to work it in somehow to whatever it is I write for NBC. Which maybe I've already written it. And maybe I haven't. But you'll never know. Until it hits the air. And maybe it won't. And I'll never know. Maybe it will hit the air, maybe it won't. And if it doesn't, will I ever know? An Italian law enforcement official said authorities have no evidence of a link to terrorism. Sources in Washington told CNN that despite previous warnings, there is no intelligence about a terrorist attack targeting Italy. However, they did receive a telegram late last week saying that Ludwig Winemaker, living up there in the Alps, was pissed off at his wife and he's going to fly that Piper Cub there into the side of the old Pirelli building. Milan Fire Brigade officials said the aircraft containing only the pilot, according to the flight plan, was on fire as it flew into the tower. Good God, what goes wrong in a plane that it's on fire? Did he drop a cigarette or something? Was he bringing back gasoline to somebody who'd run out of gas in the Autobahn? That, I would say, is a problem. Grandpa, I'm fine, for God's sake. I can fly it, no problem. Takes off within minutes, it's in flames. Papa, don't worry, I'm fine. I fly the airplane all the time. Flew for Luftwaffe, all that bull crap. Watch this. Okay, we got a problem. You have to get the ashtray before you take off. I'm sorry. Tower, which once housed the headquarters of Italian tire and cable manufacturer Pirelli, now serves as the headquarters for the regional government Italian Interior Minister Claudio Scapablabla, and a government official who was working inside the building and a third person. They were not identified. Apparently, they died in the crash. 30 to 40 people from the 415 foot-high tower in central Milan were taken to a hospital. It didn't add up when I first heard it. It didn't add up as I was getting the news. And when I finally got the news that it was an emergency landing by this guy, I heard this panicked reporting about a small plane hitting a tower in Italy, in Milan, Italy. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Everybody's on pins and needles, though, aren't they? Everybody is waiting for the other shoe to drop. I got swallows crapping down the side of my house. I think it's Al-Qaeda. Hey, let me ask you something. Everybody's worried about this guy that flew his plane into this tower. What about the swallows that are hitting my house daily? Daily! You think that's some kind of an Al-Qaeda deal? They ain't using them big gasoline bombs. They're using bird crap. On my house. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget those Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. And also, if you are of a mind for charity, yes, the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2001 is called Bring It. All that money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. 877-616-7445. We'll return shortly.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
And now today's news as delivered by Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton. Well, Norton, that's it. That's it, Norton. They already cast the biopic, the Jackie Gleason. Hey, Ralphie boy, who got the role? Well, it wasn't Phil Henry, I'll tell you that much. Once in his life, don't you think Henry would like to have a break? But no, they hire some British actor. That's British. I love them. They all think they can act, you know. Hey, Robbie boy. Yo, Norton. It's Bin Laden's situation. Oh, Ralph, they see the guy's a master of disguises. He could have got out.
What do you mean he could have got out, you moron? Where's he going to go?
Well, he could play Santa Claus at Macy's.
Santa Claus at Macy's? He doesn't look anything like Santa Claus. See, that's the problem with you, Norton. You're not very bright. You don't see the bigger picture. You don't see how big and wide everything can be.
I see you every day, Ralph.
Oh, wise guy, huh? Wise guy, huh? You know, one of these days, Norton,
bang, zoom to the moon.
I don't know, Norton. Nobody listens to me around here anyway.
And little Ralphie boy, I think you carry a lot of weight.
All right, get out! Get out!
That was Ralph and Ed delivering the news today. All right. Here is, I think it's Shay on the Phil Henry Show. Shay?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't thought about this for a while, but I remember on the morning of September 11th, I remember watching the radio and just...
You were watching the radio, and then what happened?
I'm sorry. I'm watching the radio right now. I was watching the TV, and they were like, well, I wonder what happened, you know, an airline hit the World Trade Center, and I remember Matt and... Matt Lauer, those guys were just sitting there, and I'm thinking, they don't know what happened, and how, what does it take to get an airline to run into a building? I mean, it just doesn't happen unless someone does it on purpose.
No, it can happen. It's happened before.
Didn't it just happen? This guy from Switzerland?
People have run into buildings by mistake with aircraft before 9/11. In fact, it's happened more than once.
Yeah, that's actually, I didn't think that.
And now, Ralph and Ed with more of the news.
You know, Norton, I just saw when his Thor Heyerdahl died.
Say what?
Thor Heyerdahl, Norton, you know, the big explorer from Norway. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at, Norton?
Big explorer from Norway. Just wonder if he could get a belt around you.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, you're a riot, Norton. You're a regular riot. You're just a riot. I'm going to put you on stage, Norton. Real riot.
Get a belt around me.
I'll get a belt on you.
Hey, Norton.
Hey, Robbie boy.
See this plane hit a building in Italy? How do they know it was a building? What do you mean? How do they know it was a building? It was a building, Norton. I hang around you with you long enough, you know, sometimes you can make the mistake. Oh, is that it, Norton? Is that it, Norton? I'm as big as a building now, is that it? Well, I don't know. No, go ahead, Norton. Go ahead, say it. You can say it. You're my friend. You can say it. I'm as big as a building. Is that it, Norton? Bang, zoom.
Ralph and Ed doing the news. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, in the news, the biopic of Jackie Gleason, the great one, has been cast. Mark Addy, the former star of the Full Monty. He's a British actor. I understand he's very good. As you know, I was campaigning to at least be considered for some small part in that film. But that's all right. I think Mark Addy would be fantastic. I'm sure he'll be able to nail the Gleason part just perfectly. Now more news with Ralph and Ed.
I don't know, Ed. The thing of it is, we got to get off of that foreign oil. That's what we got to do. We got to get off the foreign oil, Norton.
Oh, yeah, Ruffy boy?
That's right. See, all that foreign oil that we're sucking up makes us go over to the Middle East, see? And the next thing you know, we're all involved in a big war over there. It's nuts. It's kooky. They need a big expanse to drill for oil.
Have they called you?
Oh, you're funny.
Well,
No. You're very funny. You know, Norton, I think today's the day. Today's the day you're going to the moon!
Hey, Ralphie boy.
What's that, Ed?
You see this 75-year-old man charged with impregnating a 10-year-old?
That is absolutely disgusting. Why would you bring that into my house?
I don't know. You bring that lunch home every day.
All right, get out. Get out!
Ralph and Ed do the news. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ivan. Ivan?
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I think your show is awesome, man.
Well, thanks.
I've been listening about 2 months now, and I actually got my wife listening in to you, and she loves Margaret, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Margaret's going to be on today.
Oh, she, yeah, yes, her singing, that show you did when she was singing and stuff.
Yeah, when she was when she was singing the song, what was that, You'll Never Walk Alone?
Whatever you were singing, all that. But,
You'll Never Walk Alone, and I think she did another selection, which was the theme for the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, the one where you go, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3.
Oh, Snowbird, yeah, that's Snowbird's Dynamite. As a matter of fact...
Yeah. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Beneath this snowy mountain, cold and clear.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
you know
favorite,
that tune, man?
Man?
That
yeah,
tune
I've
is by...
To, what's that?
That tune's by Anne Murray. She's a Canadian.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah, we were trying to figure that out.
And when I played it one time in the office, Janice Ungaro, who's my producer, Janice from Vancouver, she just went into a... She just began jumping around the room like the Flying Nun.
Hey, she can sing, man.
Who, Janice? Oh, yeah, Anne Murray.
No,
yeah,
Margaret.
Yeah.
Margaret.
And Margaret, too. As a matter of fact... Let's hear a little bit more of that. I just like to hear the countdown, that's all. I don't care about the singing. I just like to hear the...
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
There you go. Okay, pal.
Well, I've been trying to hear people to you at work and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't tell them what's going on. You know.
So they just think it's some nut with a lot of weird-ass guests. Yeah.
Yeah, they just get all offended and stuff, you know.
Perfect.
Anyway, I had a question for you.
Go ahead.
Since you're letting people in on the whole deal... I was wondering where the callers are coming from. I mean...
Good question.
You know what I mean? Because when I first heard you, you had, who was it? The guy that, the hopeful NYPD guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this can't be real, you know? And then I was listening to it, and he was talking about, I think, running, putting oil in your...
2, 3, 4, 1, 2...
Okay, Ivan, it's going to be all right, pal.
All right.
Thank you very much. The Phil Henry Show.
Norton!
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know why this stuff is cool to me, but it just is. Thor Heyerdahl died. Now, I know most of you don't even know who I'm talking about. Thor Heyerdahl was a guy from Norway. With a name like Thor Heyerdahl, I hope he's from Norway. I pray that he's from Norway. No, his name is Thor Heyerdahl, and he comes from Kenya. Anyway, his name's Thor Heyerdahl. He came from Norway. And he was, I believe, an anthropologist who believed that the way Polynesia got populated, the reason why there were people on islands like Tahiti, and the reason why there were people on islands like Fiji, and the reason why there's people on all those islands is because they migrated from South America. And he went to prove it. And how did he prove it? In 1947, he built a craft called the Contiki, which was made out of balsa logs. It was a balsa log raft, and he strapped it all together using only the kind of materials that people 2,000 or 1,000 years ago would have. And in 1947, he got on this log raft, and he set off from Peru, and he made it all the way to Polynesia on this raft. It took him 101 days, 4,900 miles, and he proved his theories at least were possible about human migration. And everybody told him that he was nuts, that his balsa log raft would sink within days because it would get waterlogged, etc. Well, anyway, Thor Heyerdahl just croaked. He was 87. Now, I realize it doesn't sound very respectful for me to say all of that about his life and then say he just croaked at 87, but I mean that with respect. Thor Heyerdahl has passed on, 87 years of age. And when I was a kid, he was like a big name. We had to read the book in school and study this guy. And I don't know why, but when I was a kid, for some reason, I thought Contiki was about the blob. It had nothing to do with Thor Heyerdahl on a raft. Now, here's the whole rundown. There was a science fiction movie when I was a kid about the blob-like material that takes over Earth called Kal-Tiki. So when I heard about Contiki, I thought it was a book about the blob. And I began reading it, and all I was getting was Polynesia and log rafts. And I was bummed. But that's what got me into reading up about Thor Heyerdahl, because I stumbled upon his book by accident, thinking it was about the blob. I guess I had to go on IMDb and find out if that movie actually existed, or was it a fever dream I had? But I think there was some kind of a thing from space called, you know, it was a blob, and it was called Kal-Tiki. Or maybe that was just the cat that sells Fords down there in Long Beach. Anyway, the whole point is that this guy had real guts, got on this raft, and went off and did something very cool, and here we sit doing a radio show. You know, sometimes I just want to bail out. Don't you agree, Norton? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Let me look at that on IMDb while I'm talking to our next guy here. I swear to God that there was a movie that was like some sort of a gelatinous mass from outer space that had the name Kal-Tiki or something like that, and it confused me when I heard about Contiki. It's pretty weird, man. I know I'm talking about stuff that like maybe 5% of the audience even understands. But you know what? At this particular point in my life, I don't give a crap. Let me find out where it is. I'll find it. Hi, Rich. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing, man?
Good.
Listen, I think the blob did exist. I think it was in some Japanese sci-fi movie or something like that. Listen, I'm dying to know.
What do you mean, character? Japanese sci-fi movie?
I don't know. King Kong and all that crap.
Yeah, okay, thanks for humoring an old man. Yeah, great, okay.
Listen, who was the character who said, my wife and I are dying enough? That's not gyrosauce, baby. I almost caused an accident from here to the house.
That's not gyrosauce.
Yeah. Remember that one? The Olympic lady.
Oh, the Olympic lady?
Oh, my God, Phil.
That was Margaret. It was Margaret.
From here to the Holland Tunnel, I swear to God, it's 80 miles to the east. I almost backed up traffic. I hit the brakes so freaking hard.
Because he said, that's not gyrosauce, baby? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. It was Margaret, and it was the Olympic show. She was talking about fear of being raped near the Greek food tent.
Oh, my God.
Was that it?
The interpretation in Greek, I swear to God, it hit the floor.
There you go.
What was actually the Greek translation again? I forget.
That's not, something like that's not gyrosauce, baby. But it was Margaret who was covering the Olympics. She didn't want to go into the Olympics without a loaded weapon because she was afraid that the Greeks...
She had a love affair with a Greek guy, a big hairy Greek guy, while eating or something.
Yes, yes, yeah. And he'd gotten it all over her. And she, ever since then, she's had this sort of fear, this love-hate of Greek men and Greek food. You got it.
That's not gyro sauce, baby.
We ought to do a show one day where we ask people just their favorite single line from the show, just their favorite single. Like, well, we had one the other day that I thought was just a killer, man.
Oh yeah, I'm using that all over the place now at work. You know, someone spills something, a little mustard stain, a little milk. I go, that's not gyro sauce, baby.
Something about get the liquid butter out is always a good one. All right, man, thank you.
See
you. Bye. You're weirding me out, man. You're talking too much about that gyro sauce thing. Here is Brian on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Love the show.
Thanks.
I was just calling to, you were talking about the movie Kaltiki.
Oh, cool. So you know, am I going nuts? Or?
Well, I have a video movie guide right here.
Yeah.
And it says in here it's called Kaltiki, the Immortal Monster.
There you go.
And yeah, explorers find an ancient blob-like monster living under a Mayan temple.
Cool.
They kill it, but bring it back to some city where it starts to regenerate and grow.
Naturally.
So it sounds like, yeah, you know.
It wasn't my imagination, and that was very confusing because the book Kon-Tiki was very big at that time.
Yeah.
So here come these Japanese filmmakers with Kaltiki. And for some reason, I got Thor Heyerdahl and science fiction blobs all mixed together.
Yeah.
So all right.
I thought I'd call
it. How do they spell that, man? C-A-L?
C-A-L-T-I-K-I.
I put it right here on the IMDb, and it didn't come up with Jack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a 1999 video movie guide.
Awesome.
But
all right. Yeah. Craig, next time you're in Japan, man, which I know is going to be very soon, would you pick up Kaltiki for me, the immortal blob or whatever the hell it is? Speaking of immortal blobs, what's that hanging from your freaking nose, man? All right, listen, thank you very much.
Hey, no problem.
Okay, bye. Speaking of immortal blob, I know we had pizza for lunch, but do you mind getting a napkin? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I ain't seen no suicide bombers around here lately. Have you? I could be missing something. I might not be reading the newspaper from front to back, but seems to me they're a little few and far between these days. Now, what do you suppose caused that? You know, it's an interesting phenomenon, and I guess it speaks very well of a country. A country is so civilized that when you crap all over it, well, Bush said it pretty good today. He said they flew a couple of planes into the World Trade Center. What did they think we were going to do? Sue them? So if you got a reputation as a country for being so civilized, so absolutely civilized, or maybe you have a reputation as a country for being so cowed and weak that when they walk into a supermarket and blow themselves up, or fly a couple of your jets into a couple of your buildings and kill like 3,000 of your own people, that you're going to kind of sit back and think about it. You're going to sit back and think about it. And like we used to say on the show, have a couple of roundtable discussions, break off into study groups, and study the problem. And when you don't do that, when you drop a freaking rock on them, they go nuts. The screaming doesn't end. They squeal like the man said, like a pig stuck under a gate. Like a stuck pig. See, that's the whole thing. I guess maybe we've been taking it for so long, or they believe all of those movies that they see about us. I said to Janice in the office today, and I was only half kidding. I said, I honestly believe that Al-Qaeda's been listening to my radio show. I think that's why they decided to pull that whole World Trade Center thing in the first place. They must think that we're a pack of lunatics. They must think that we are utter and complete lunatics, losers, couldn't pull it together with two hands and a flashlight in a closet. You know, we got no clue. You know, if you listen to this show long enough, if this program is getting in outer space, if this program is being received by alien civilizations, it is a very real possibility that those civilizations, whether they be living on Mars, Pluto, or in Syria, believe us to be complete whack jobs. So why wouldn't they try to attack us, right? And then when you turn around and you drop a hammer on them, when you turn around and you drop a couple of them bunker busters in there, you know, a couple of those little cuties that we got that we've been storing up since Halloween, you know, some of the things we didn't use when we trick-or-treated, we just kind of laid them on the Al-Qaeda, and they get all freaked out and weirded out and totally stunned and completely confused, and they're pumping their fists in the air, and they're pissed off. That's the part that makes me laugh. I mean, I gotta sit back and I gotta just laugh. So Israel absorbs, I don't know how many of these, three, four, five of those suicide bombers. And if you remember, they took off after Hamas. I think they rocked somebody's world. I think one of those Hamas guys got into his car to go get a pack of cigarettes one morning, turned the key, and oops, no more guy, no more car. I think they did a little bit of that, and that didn't stop it. So they did the next logical thing. They said, well, we have to defend our country. We're going to go and we're going to attack. See, Israel has been the subject of 6 Days War. That was an attack by the Arab countries. The Yom Kippur War, which was particularly the Yom Kippur War, a lot of you are too young to remember. This was particularly indicative of what the Arabs are all about. On the holiest holiday of the Jewish calendar, that's when the Arabs decided to attack, because that's the kind of scum they are. And when I say Arabs, I'm talking about their leadership. I don't mean the people. But these days, it's a little tough to, you know, the line's getting a little blurry. Israel's been attacked so many times, I mean, you can't even count it anymore, okay? And they've had to defend themselves so many times. But the minute that they go at least 3 yards over their own border into another country, the minute that they push out 5 feet into Lebanon or into the Palestinian, whatever the hell they call that, authority, I believe it's called, the Palestinian Authority. That's, you guys really did wonders with that West Bank, didn't you? Nice way to start a country. I mean, you got shanty towns and people are crapping in the street. That's great. Of course, that's all Israel's fault, right? Yeah, I know. I got it. I'm covered, man. Don't worry about it. You don't have to lecture me anymore. The minute they go 3 feet into somebody else's territory to try to neutralize this kind of thing that is going on against their country, oh, well, they're racists, and they're perpetrating a Holocaust, and they're aggressors, and they're occupiers. And in other words, they are every term the propagandists can think of to mobilize a bunch of poor, underfed, and dumb 16-year-old Palestinian kids holding rocks. And Yasser Arafat loves the whole thing because it keeps him in a job for as long as that poor guy can still sit upright. He hasn't had a normal bowel movement in years, and yet he's still the president of whatever it is they call the Palestinian Authority. Guy's sitting in a closet over there. Guy's an utter flop and a failure as a human being and as a leader. He's still sitting over there in a closet with a gun, a flashlight, a crossword puzzle, and he's waiting for somebody to cart the night soil pot out. But he's still issuing his proclamations and his demands. You know what, Yasser, you couldn't make a demand right now. You know, you couldn't make a demand on your urinary tract right now. You couldn't bring up a good leak if you had to right now. And so having said that, I'd like to say, having said that, I'd like to say,
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and...
Okay. What timing we got on this show. I'm quicker with than you are with. See?
2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Okay. All right, here is David on the Phil Henry Show. David?
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, listen, hi. You were talking about what would be the absolute funniest line that you've ever said on your show ever.
Or that you ever heard on the show,
that
yeah.
I ever heard on the show. Has to be, I'm sure you agree with me, has to be all you can eat Negro.
Yeah, that goes back a lot of years on the show.
I still laugh about that.
All you can eat Negro.
I don't know if you could find that and play it.
Yeah, I got
CD.
It, man. That was on our very first CD, in fact, our 97 CD, which was called Still on the Air. And that was the result of Mavis.
Right.
Whose son had died. Yeah. And instead of getting a Protestant burial, he was being given a Catholic burial by mistake, and she was afraid because the Catholics, they eat Jesus.
And a priest called in.
And a priest called in and said, no, you don't understand. We don't really eat, you know, it's the body and blood of Jesus, but we don't eat other people. He says, you're macking on my boy.
That was so funny.
She said, are you macking on my boy? Turn him into a, then she said, turn him into a brother buffet. Turn him into a brother buffet. And then finally the last line
was great.
Yeah, then the last line was all you can eat Negro at which time. And I lost it then.
Yeah. Oh,
well, I'll have to play that later on in the show.
Please do, because that was so funny.
How about this, man?
2, 3, 4. How about 2, 3?
Okay. Thanks, man.
I've been listening to you since Miami. I love you.
Oh, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know why people dig that, but I think it's not because it was so funny as that I was laughing my ass off at it, you know.
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Beneath the snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings, and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. I hear voices when I'm in the bathroom. I think it's coming from a transmitter shoved in my back teeth.
Wait. What? Yeah. There you go. Here is Mario on the Phil Henry Show. Mario?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that I really like your show, and
appreciate it.
Bud Dickman the best.
Yeah, Bud's cool.
Yeah, I think you should do him more.
All right, I will.
He's like the all-time best.
About Bud? What was some of your favorite Bud moments?
I like the one with him, and I can't remember the name. It was a couple nights ago with the ukulele and...
Brent Barley, the political satire guy.
Yeah, and Rosie O'Donnell. And
yeah, Rosie O'Donnell's a big fat dyke.
Yeah,
okay.
That was really good.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's high comedy, isn't it? Yeah, I really did that the other night. Rosie O'Donnell's a big fat dyke. Oh, that was just cutting edge. Cutting edge stuff, but not as cutting edge as...
2, 3.
All right. Let's go over to Richie on the Phil Henry Show. Richie? Or no, excuse me, this is Greg. Greg?
Yeah.
Hi.
Phil.
Yeah.
I drove off the road when Bobby Dooley said, fetus is kind of like a canned ham.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I like
right.
the one when she said it's more like a shrimp cocktail. But thank you. That guy's chronic, by the way. Would you please, in the name of everything holy. That guy from Tucson, he's a nice guy. He's a very nice cat. But, Greg, no more phone calls for you. No more. 1-800, I know Jeff's in today, and he don't know from canned ham. He don't know from Pirelli tires and canned ham. And Ricola. ...75-year-old Swiss man. Yeah, it's terrorism, all right. Here is Jason on the Phil Henry Show. Jason?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say, during the Olympics, you did a bit where you were some Mexican guy who was saying the Taliban was going to get pissed because we were being so patriotic and they were going to blow up Salt Lake City.
Right.
What was that guy's name? That was hilarious.
That was Dave Oliva, yeah.
Yeah, that
Dave was afraid that America was going to be Norway's bitch.
Yeah,
in the
exactly.
Olympics. All right.
Exactly. Your Middle Eastern commentary, right on the button.
Thanks.
Those guys are a bunch of sackless wonders.
That's pretty much it, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, though.
Good show, buddy.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, 1-800-449-8686. If you really want to stay on top of the political scene, just check out all the stuff I say about it. I mean, I don't know. All right, anybody got a beer? It's the Phil Henry Show.